We're not that far apart politically on a lot of issues, it's true. Although he began talking about a unusual idea for reforming oil taxes several months ago on his website and then through a Compass piece, and it came to a head probably 3 weeks ago with a front page story in the Daily News highlighting our differences on oil taxes, how we pay for the things that we want to do for the state, like renewable energy and education. You know, it's how you pave the roads. It's how you make sure the state has, you know, state troopers where it needs them. It's a big, big issue.
All right. Where are you on oil taxes? Are you still for the profit based system now?
You know, we struggled mightily in 2006 and 2007, most specifically to put a fair oil tax on the books, and we had what I would call a unique moment in time when the FBI raids on legislative offices and the arrest of legislators created a space in which we could work free of the intense lobbying you frequently get from the oil industry when matters like these come up. Even so, it was an enormous effort. I was there, and you know, we were bleeding ulcers. We were up all night. It was hard work to push a major oil tax bill through that legislature, and we did it. And we, you know, it's a good thing we did, because in 2008, when oil prices hit $145 a barrel, we had a fair oil tax in place, and we reached out and saved $5 billion put away into savings, which is something that's largely gone unheralded.
I was thinking about asking you what the tax scheme would be for gas coming off the North Slope, but is gas even a reality in the term of the next governor?
You know, it is. You know, we're going to face a major hurdle when we see the results of the bids that have been submitted under AGEA to put gas in that pipeline. And most observers believe there are going to be, you know, difficult questions for the state to face over its taxes. It's like we, the state, are putting our house up for sale, and we think our house is worth, say, $500,000. And when we open those bids, I don't know what the industry is going to offer, but my guess is they're going to offer about $250,000. And if you want to give the state's resources away for $250,000, they'll take it right now. Sign the papers. Come on, let's go. Let's build a pipeline. But if you want to negotiate hard and get $495,000. For that house, you need someone who's accustomed to dealing in a strong way with the oil industry as your governor, and that's something I think I have a good track record on.
Does AGEA give the next governor the latitude for that kind of negotiation?
That's something that's going to have to take place between, frankly, you know, the governor and the oil industry, and then the legislature.
Let's talk about Southeast a little bit, because you mentioned Senator Gukesh introduced you down in Metlakatla, was it?
Yes.
Senator Gukesh is going to be facing a judge one of these days about a federal subsistence and state subsistence conflict that he perceives in the region. At this point, I haven't sensed from the current governor that there's been much desire to step up policy or any rhetoric over the issue, but it's something that could flare during the next governor's term.
I think this governor is on what I call a glide path to November. He just assumed that nothing, you know, disrupts his glide path. And so he's been remarkably quiet on many issues.
All right. Well, I don't know when Senator Gukesh is going to get to trial, but when it does happen, it's going to reignite, if not in Juneau, certainly among a lot of people living out here in subsistence-qualified communities, interest in the lack of movement on federal and state subsistence.
It's a statewide issue, really, and so I've thought about it for a long time. When I entered the legislature, I was in favor of a rural subsistence priority. I continue to be in favor of one. It makes most sense to me that the people who live closest to the resource should have first access to it in times of scarcity. It's just common sense. And to me, I would push that as hard as I could. And if you can't do it through a constitutional amendment, which is really the bottom line for us as a state to get in line with the federal government, then you try to implement policies through statutes and through your regulations that emulate that. Of course, without crossing, you know, then you're still going to be in conflict with our state constitution. So it's a balancing act.